Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, business-to-people communications and social media peer groups have emerged as a new model for connecting with markets and customers directly and efficiently. However, a study also found that social media is becoming an increasingly prevalent business risk in the region. According to the 2019 Annual Global Fraud and Risk Report by Kroll, adversarial social media activity was a relevant factor in 29% of significant incidents that materially impacted businesses in the Asia-Pacific during the last 12 months. Almost two-thirds of Asia-Pacific business leaders surveyed cited social media as a significant priority when developing a defense strategy for their organizations. We're speaking with Kroll's Managing Director and Southeast Asia Head of Business Intelligence and Investigation, Reshmi Khurana. Reshmi, thanks so much for joining us today. First up, though, maybe some definitions, if you will. What are adversarial social media activity? And also, how might they impact businesses?
Social media activity has become a major way for companies to access their customers and influencers. You know, our survey shows that 78% of companies now use social media influencers. And these are not just products which may seem like they're consumer-facing, like, you know,
beauty products or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be, you know, it could be hotels. It could be lighting.
Airlines.
Real estate, lighting, airlines, everything. And adversarial content could be anything that really is going to harm your brand. And that really comes often from the activities or the environment in which your influencer is operating. So while they may have a large number of followers or clicks, I think what consumer companies are now getting aware of is they need to understand more about the backgrounds and other patterns of behavior of these social media influencers. Mm. So they post something which is politically a tad too sensitive for a market that a company may be acting in, or their own personal lifestyle doesn't jive with the brand that the projection that the brand is trying to make. All of that can be considered adversarial. Mm. It can also be, you know, related to disputes that social media influencers have, which you haven't factored into it because, you know, and maybe their past behavior indicated that. So I think the big message here is doing checks and treating them like real third parties, just like you would, you know, your vendors and your suppliers and your big intermediaries. These are now a big section of third parties you need to deal with.
But these are, say, social media influencers that they've brought, the brands have brought on board for themselves, but you can't control everyone. Let's say they weren't sort of an ambassador for your brand, a social influencer, could be saying things, could be embroiled in certain things, could have said something about your brand. That's not controllable though.
It's not controllable, but it can certainly be monitored. So what companies are doing is active, sometime, you know, 24/7 monitoring of what these social media influencers are doing. So absolutely, you know, when they're not talking about your product, you just want to make sure they're not talking about anything else that could come and hurt you. So that's number one. Second is, just like any business relationship, you know, doing some due diligence of what they've done in the past. So it's like entering a friendship, you know, knowing how have they behaved in the past. Have they sort of ill-treated or been irresponsible or shot from the hip vis-a-vis another brand? You may not want them, and you sort of weigh the cost and benefit of using some of these influencers. So I think the big message here is do your diligence as a brand, and you know, you can be aware. And if something goes wrong, then being able to react in a timely way, you know, shutting out some fake news or correcting any sort of behavior that's not in line with what your brand expects. I think a lot of that can be done more proactively.
Let's talk more then, Reshmi, about fake news, because 84% of businesses you've found feel threatened by market manipulation through the spread of fake news. Most commonly, they feel fueled by social media. So how can they better protect themselves in this case? First off, the 24/7 monitoring, and then?
You know, that statistic really is a reflection of our times, isn't it? That fake news is a big risk for businesses. There are various ways to combat that. Don't rule out good old-fashioned internal audit. You know, there are things which your own internal businesses and systems can pick up in terms of when information is being lost, through encrypted chat channels or social media channels. So again, using your conventional tools, but your conventional internal auditors now need to think unconventionally. So I think some of that is training and attuning your own organization to how the risks are now not just theft of inventory, theft of intellectual property from the cloud, but this additional theft of reputation, so to speak. And then there are also very sophisticated cyber tools, cybersecurity tools that are available to now monitor endpoint activity. So, there are discrete tools that can obviously monitor things like what websites employees are visiting, what are they doing on their company-owned devices. All of the things that very carefully balance data protection, data privacy, but really allowing companies to understand how their vendors, employees, and other third parties are behaving. And I think that's an ongoing discussion.
It's gotten to a point where we have to go that deep, even to say employees' personal social media pages that you need to monitor.
I'm not sure how
an employee might feel.
No, but if they're doing it on a company device or a company-owned asset, and it's explicitly set out in your employment contract what you can and cannot do. And I think that's exactly what I mean by companies, on the one hand, have these added vulnerabilities with employees having access to the world on the tip of their smartphones. But on the other hand, they need to, maneuver things like data, data privacy, and it can't be seen as being too intrusive, especially with international companies that have international employees and, laws which go beyond these shores, right? GDPR, etc. So I think, that's where companies need to develop this as a policy, well thought out and not just reactionary. So you lose something and then you're reacting.
Right. So this fear of, say, loss of confidential information, defamation, misinformation, employee solicitation, for example, can only, say, be monitored on a company's device. If, say, the employee were doing it on their own device, then that's a no-go zone.
I think that comes from not just monitoring, because as you said, you can only do so much monitoring and policing. That takes a lot of effort. It also comes from educating both your own employees and, the industry in general, because you'd be amazed how many times employees do things inadvertently, right? They could be sharing something about their company on their Facebook or Twitter, not realizing this is material, non-public information that could move the share price. So also just educating your employees very actively on what's insider information, what can and cannot be shared, what's cocktail party conversation versus what doesn't move beyond the room. So I think education, training, and sensitization is a big element as lines get blurred between what you use your devices for.
Right. We're speaking with Reshmi Khurana, who is Managing Director and Southeast Asia Head of Business Intelligence and Investigations at Kroll. Reshmi, let's talk about data theft. The Kroll report found that 29% of global respondents were affected by this and reputational damage caused by third-party relationships. So this comes in second on the list of significant risks, right after the risk of leaks of internal information that we just talked about. So how can companies better manage, say, their third-party relationships, control their vendors, maybe reduce the risk of data theft, and then after reputational damage, obviously?
I think the first step is realizing and evaluating what really is the data that's valuable to you as a company. In some companies, it could be, your design, product design, or, something in intellectual property related to a service or a good that you sell. For some companies, it's actually your employee data. It's actually not about what you sell, but who you hire. For others, it could be your customer information. For yet others, it could be your relationship with regulators. So I think the first thing companies need to do is, again, have a data protection policy, which really steps back and says, okay, what's the data that's valuable to us and prioritize it? Not everything is going to be equally valuable and you don't can't afford to have the same amount of resources in protecting everything.
Mm.
So I think that's number one, knowing what data is valuable. And number two is, what are your vulnerabilities? Again, does that vulnerability come internally? You know, so is it people can walk in and put USB drives in computers and then just walk out? So what
are
your
employee hygiene, cyber hygiene?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's not just an IT issue. So it's not just how many firewalls and anti-ransom software do you have. Again, it's educating. Can you forward your work emails to home if you're working out of home? Can you, what devices are you allowed to plug in? What information can you download from your, say, cloud onto your personal servers and email it to yourself? So again, you know, because our experience at Kroll investigating a lot of these thefts is it's only 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 cases when it's actual theft. Most of the time, people could be removing data inadvertently because they think they're able to, and it's a culture of misusing data or not knowing that this shouldn't be done or this makes it more vulnerable. So I think evaluating what your real assets are in terms of data and looking at both your IT and your processes around people and systems could be really powerful, just easy ways to prevent data theft.
Okay. Reshmi, why do you think this is more prevalent, say, in the Asia-Pacific region compared to other regions? Your report found that data theft was particularly serious here.
I think it's very much a function of how rapidly data and cloud information is becoming such an integral part of businesses in Asia. So some of it is the steep learning curve that companies in Asia are going through. So, you know, if you just look at mobile penetration in countries in the region, just, you know, we've skipped generations of telecom, right? It's gone from SMS to now Viber.
Mm.
We've kind of missed a lot of the slow journey that some of the developed markets had the opportunity to go through and hence learn from. So I think our learning curve is that much steeper. Secondly, our governance standards are still evolving, right? So a number of businesses in the region tend to be family-controlled, family-owned, smaller businesses. So things like what's company information, what's not, where does segregation of duties come in, when can you not take information? You know, all of that is evolving. These are emerging markets. I mean, for a reason, they're called that. So I think some of that also affects how data is treated. And then third is our data privacy and data protection laws in the region are also still evolving. Right?
Mm.
We know about the debate, for example, or the discussions in Singapore regarding data privacy. Those discussions are very nascent in other emerging countries. So when you don't know what data privacy is and private data is, and when there are no laws to punish you, then, you know, some of that data can then get misused. So those are some of the environmental reasons.
Very quickly, Reshmi, let's go back to talking about, say, social media influencers and this jumping on the bandwagon to use social media to push your brand. What can companies do and what should they take note of before they start doing this and recruiting, say, brand ambassadors, etc.?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the things I said before.
Extreme background checks. Oh, dear.
Do proper checks. You know, they don't have to be extreme. A lot of these people already have their lives out there for us to examine. So I think it's just looking at that carefully, applying that lens of what constitutes a risk, right? Not all the behavior is risking. It's risky. It's about what affects your business. It's about having some sort of programmatic monitoring, because like you said, you can't do 24/7 monitoring on everything. That would just be very intensive. And if you're a fashion company, you're not in the business of monitoring. You're in the business of selling fashion.
Right.
But creating a framework where you say, okay, what is our greatest risk? Who should we be monitor when? What constitutes a red flag? You know, again, thinking through some of those things can
Who could do that thinking, though? Somebody trained? Is there a person who's trained to do that?
There are a number of companies that now have a very active chief information security office. You know, again, that's not just a bunch of IT people who are relegated to looking at how to protect your IT systems. These are people who are looking at information security from a very strategic, you know, perspective for the company. And they need to liaise with business folks, So it's not just, you know, these are people who are talking to marketing and legal and really setting the direction for those types of questions on, great, you as marketing want to bring in these 10 social media influencers, but hey, me as chief information security officer thinks you should be thinking about these risks. And I think having a seat at the table for the information security world is going to help companies.
Reshmi Khurana, Managing Director and Southeast Asia Head of Business Intelligence and Investigations at Kroll, thank you so much for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.